Amen. Thank you to our worship arts team that provided beautiful music of worship this weekend. If you didn't notice, we had multiple wardrobe changes throughout that set. Tanya Rainey was like Reba McEntire, changing outfits, and Darren, and that's because those were video recordings of past songs from this past year, because we had a few of our worship arts team call in, either because they were feeling under the weather or someone in their household was feeling under the weather. And we greatly appreciate when people do that and love their church family enough to say, it's probably not wise for me to come in. So for everyone within our church family that is waiting on symptoms to go away, waiting for COVID tests to come back, and for a few of our members that do have diagnosed cases of COVID-19, we are praying for all of you. Well, this weekend's icebreaker question is this: describe a thankful person with one word that isn't thankful. So if you're watching at home, if you're road tripping and with other people in the car, hopefully the person driving is listening and not watching. Anyways, what is that one word that you would use? And I'm not looking for synonyms here for thankful, but what is a word that comes to mind to describe a person who is thankful? And I ask that question not just because it is the weekend prior to Thanksgiving, but because following last week's sermon on the five marks of a forgiving soul, I thought we would keep on that track and talk about the five marks of a thankful soul. It's very easy to see a thankful person. It's very easy to just kind of feel thankfulness in another person, to observe it. But a lot of times, if we don't think about what it is that makes us thankful or why we should be thankful, it's very easy to start believing and sliding down a slippery slope to unthankfulness. So this weekend prior to Thanksgiving, we are going to climb the hill of thankfulness by looking at Scripture and looking at these, what I would call the five marks of a thankful soul. So let me pray real quick, and then we'll get into the five marks and the corresponding scriptures that I believe support these things. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's true. Father, help us to recognize in ourselves and in those around us what it is to be thankful and why it is important to you through your word and through your spirit and because of your son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So, getting right to it, the first mark of a thankful soul is that thankful souls count blessings. Have you heard this phrase before? Count your blessings. Well, counting your blessings, that phrase is not inherently, isn't word for word in Scripture, but unlike cleanliness is next to godliness, unlike that, we can find biblical support for counting our blessings in Scripture. And there are a number of scriptures on thankfulness in general, but one that I think dovetails nicely into this concept of counting our blessings, remembering, repeating, writing down, saying out loud why we are blessed, why we should be thankful, is included in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 8. And this is what the Apostle Paul says to the church in Philippi. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. In other words, thankful people, blessed people should count blessings. And in this passage, I believe that when things are true, when things are true in your life, when things in your life are worthy of respect, when things in your life are just, when you see justice done, when you see purity, when you see something or someone that is lovely, if something's commendable, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, if those things are in and around your life, you and I should count those as blessings. We should think about them. We should meditate on them. We should talk about them and thank God for them. You see, counting your blessings is an aspect of a person that is thankful. It's a mark of a thankful person. In fact, if you think about the Son of God, Jesus, while he was on this earth, one of his greatest sermons that he ever preached, he talked about blessings. But Jesus came not only to turn the world upside down, and that the last should be first and the first should be last, but he also redefined what a blessing was. And so here the Apostle Paul is talking to the church about what to dwell on in your mind and in your heart, and that you should count these beautiful and lovely and excellent and praiseworthy and just things, that we should be consistently mindful of them, to count them over and over again in our heads and our hearts. But Jesus goes even further in the Sermon on the Mount when in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things about you falsely on account of me, Jesus says. Rejoice. That means celebrate. That means be thankful. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets before you in the same way. You see, even if you can't follow the instructions of Paul to be mindful of all of these excellent, worthy of respect, true, pure, lovely, praiseworthy, commendable things, even if you can't even fathom of those things in your life, I don't have any of that to be thankful for, Jesus turns it up to 11. And he says, hey, you know what? You're blessed if you're poor in spirit. You're blessed if you mourn. You're blessed if you're meek. You're blessed if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, because of not what you have, but what you are going to get, what is waiting for you in the future, that you have hope. And so thankful souls count their blessings, either the things that are easily recognizable or the things that don't seem like blessings to the rest of the world that look with earthly eyes. Jesus says, look with my eyes, look with the eyes of eternity, and you'll see your blessing. Number two, the second mark is that thankful souls embrace, hug trials. And I'm not talking about Judge Judy or Judge Wapner, that's older, all of those courtroom shows. I'm not talking about those kinds of trials. Thankful souls embrace trials. In the book of 1 Peter, Peter writes this letter in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, "Dear friends," by the way, welcome to Friendship Community Church, as you're watching online. "Dear friends, do not be astonished that a trial by fire is occurring among you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice, be thankful. In the degree that you have shared in the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice and be glad." Let's look at that again. "Dear friends, do not be astonished that a trial by fire is occurring among you." Astonished. What does astonished mean? When you are astonished, you can't believe it. You weren't expecting it. And most often, if it's a trial by fire, not fire to make s'mores by, but fire that's going to engulf you, you want to run away. You want to keep that trial at arm's length. You'll do anything you can to avoid it. And yet, Peter writes that we should not only be unastonished by it, unsurprised by it, but we should rejoice in the degree that you have shared in the sufferings of Christ. In the degree. In other words, don't take every trial by fire as like this is full on like me being crucified along with Christ. No, to the degree. It's like, oh, that person cut me off for the parking space. Oh, I'm just like Jesus. No, to the degree. My family isn't giving me the time of day because of my opinion on this or that. Okay, to the degree that Jesus was maybe scorned or scoffed by the people in his hometown, to that degree, rejoice. So have a measure to it, but here's the thing. Embrace the trial as you being able to identify to a degree with the sufferings of Christ. Do you claim to be a Christian? Do you want to follow Christ? Well, then you need to be ready and able to process that you are going to endure trials by fire of varying degrees and heat. And to the degrees that they are like the sufferings of Christ, you get to celebrate and be thankful that you are identifying with Christ. That is something to be thankful for, because it means that just like the world and the evil one hated Jesus, the Son of God, and what he stood for, it means, wow, I'm getting to be a little bit like Jesus to a degree. I should be thankful for that, and I shouldn't be astonished or surprised, but I should embrace the fact that trials will come. Are you finding that no trials are coming to you? That life is easy? That you are fat and happy? There might be an issue with your life if you are not able to identify to some degree with the sufferings of Jesus through the trials that God allows or orchestrates in your life to refine you, to sanctify you, and to becoming more like his Son. Thankful souls embrace trials. Third mark of a thankful soul is that thankful souls talk to God. Talk to God. Prayer is talking to God. It's making requests of God, petitioning God. It's not talking like meeting a friend over dinner and, hey, how's your day? How's your day, God? My day was pretty good. And that's not prayer. That's not that it's conversational, but talking to God through taking everything to Him. Just a couple verses earlier in the book of Philippians, remember the first verse we read was Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. In verse 6 in chapter 4, Paul writes, "Do not be anxious, worried about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition with what? Thanksgiving, tell your requests to God." Thankful souls talk to God. Do not be anxious about what? Anything. Do not be anxious, worried about anything. Easy for you to say, Pastor. But what about, but have you heard about, did you read about, well, I heard about, do not be anxious about anything. Scripture doesn't leave us there with a period. There is a period there, but Scripture doesn't leave us there. We're supposed to replace our anxiety and our worry about everything. We're supposed to replace that because the next word is instead. That's replacing. Instead, in every situation, no loopholes, no exceptions, no disclaimers. In every situation, through what? Prayer and petition. God, I'm praying to you. Petition. God, I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you. Not just prayer and petition, but prayer and petition. Have you ever had, when was the last time that you had plain tortilla chips with nothing else? No salsa, no queso, no melted cheese, because queso is like a cheese sauce. Melted shredded cheese, it's different. Okay, when have you had tortilla chips with nothing else? Now, some of you weirdos out there have done it, but I don't have, like, I can eat potato chips, like Lay's, Ruffles, the unflavored kind. I can eat those by themselves. Not a fan. I want a little sour cream and onion flavoring on it, a barbecue, dill pickle, or maybe some ranch dip or whatever, but tortilla chips, I don't enjoy eating. I need them with something else. Salsa. Can you imagine going to a Mexican restaurant and they bring out chips and nothing else? It's like, this isn't right. This isn't biblical. I need salsa or queso or queso fundido. But here, you're like, why did you go there? Because through instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the queso or the salsa that makes this thing work, that replaces all of the anxiety about all the situations that we're worried about in life. Thanksgiving is the spice. It's the salsa. It's the ranch dressing of talking to God. And not just talking to God about your day, but when you have requests, when you have petitions, we need to do it with thanksgiving and tell our requests to God. That is God's prescription, His recipe for replacing anxiousness and worry in our life, is to talk to Him. Make our requests known. Make our petitions, plead with Him, but not without the dip. We've got to do it with thanksgiving. Why? See, God is spirit. He is this eternal being. He is no one created him, right? He's this being that we can barely fathom, and because of that, there are some paradoxes. Like we're to trust him for everything, in everything, but he all, and with however things turn out, work out, we're to have our faith and trust in him, and yet he still wants us to petition him and pray to him and ask him. But here's the problem. When we pray to God and we're constantly pleading and praying and petitioning without thanksgiving, but we're doing it out of fear and anxiety and worry, guess what we're doing? We're revealing that we don't trust him, that he's not in control, and that maybe we think that we could do the job better than he's doing it. But when we ask, when we petition with thanksgiving, it's because we already have counted our blessings, right? We've already counted our blessings. We are not astonished by the trial that we're petitioning him about. Mark number two. Mark number three, we're not one of these like superhero Christians that never prays. Because a superhero Christian is an oxymoron, emphasis on the moron. We are not superheroes. God expects and instructs us to pray to him, to talk to him, to petition him. So when we worry about our lives, when we worry about the circumstances of our lives, when we're anxious about anything, God doesn't just go, stop it, stop worrying. Stop being anxious. Now go about your day. He says, don't stop it, but hear. Instead, talk to me. Petition me, but with thanksgiving. Don't come to me before you've counted your blessings and you're no longer astonished by the fiery trial. Now come to me. The good news is, even when we forget those first two marks of a thankful soul, he still listens. He still hears our prayers. He still hears our petitions. But remember, this is the third mark of a thankful soul. We're talking about what type of people are thankful. And thankful people talk to God with thankfulness in their hearts and on their lips. By the way, you can complain to God. And remember last week I spent a lot of time on humility, and I want to say it was the third mark again. I'm spending a little bit extra time on this one because prayer is overlooked in the life of someone who's thankful. If you want to be thankful, you got to do more than just count your blessings and not being surprised by trials but embracing them. You need to pray to God. The reason I'm spending extra time on this one today is because prayer is so important in a thankful life. But did you know that you can be a thankful person and complain to God? See, complaining about God is a sin. Complaining to God is a psalm. That's what David does throughout the book of Psalms. He complains to God. He talks to him, and by the time he's complain to God, his heart turns to thankfulness because he's remembered who he's talking to. He's remembered what God has done in his life, and he remembers that God can be trusted. So, talk to God if you want a thankful soul. Fourth mark of a thankful soul, thankful souls curb complaint. Do you know what curb your dog means? Curb your dog. It means if they're going to make a mess, you clean up after them or you stop them from doing it. Thankful souls curb complaint. Again, it's not a sin to complain to God. It's a sin to complain about God. The verses I want us to look at are earlier in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Wow, look at that, double vision. Do everything. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Please don't grumble about this slide. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may be blameless. That looks okay. So that you may be blameless and pure. Children of God, without blemish, though you live in a crooked and perverse society in which you shine as lights in the world. Remember, this was written almost 2,000 years ago. By holding on to the word of life so that on the day of Christ, I, Paul, the person that has discipled you, I will have a reason to boast that I did not run in vain nor labor in vain. Let's look at that again, even the blurry one. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, without blemish. So though you live in a crooked and perverse society in which you shine as lights in the world. Do you see that? Don't grumble, don't complain, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, without blemish, though you live in a crooked and perverse society. In other words, when you grumble and complain, you basically represent yourself as part of the crooked and perverse society that you live in. In other words, you look like and sound like the world. And so when you don't grumble and complain, what happens? You are going to be seen more blameless and pure. You're going to be identified as children of God, and you're going to shine as lights in the world. What kind of world? A crooked and perverse, a dark world and society. By holding on to the word of life, so that on the day of Christ, the people that pour into you didn't run in vain or labor in vain. The people that disciple you, whether it be the word of God discipling you, whether it be a spouse or a parent that's discipling you, or a pastor that's discipling you. Let me tell you, as a pastor, it's a great fear that through grumbling and complaining, all of my efforts as a pastor, as a preacher, that I'll look back and I'll go, man, what was that all for? There's no thankful twinkling lights out there, but just grumbling and complaining. So Paul is revealing, I've got some kind of a well-intentioned fleshly desire to just not be useless as a discipler, as a Bible teacher, as a disciple of Jesus, as an apostle. Thankful souls curb complaint. 2020 has given us a lot of reason to complain. But how many of those reasons may be fiery trials that we're astonished by? And in our astonishment, we let our guard down. We grumble and complain because we weren't holding on to the word of life, because we weren't in conversation with God, we weren't praying and petitioning with thankfulness. Thankful souls curb complaint. By the way, we've got Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. Some of you are going to gather with family members. Some of you are not. My heart goes out to you that aren't. We're hunkering down. My family doesn't typically travel on Thanksgiving. I think the last Thanksgiving that Haley and I traveled on the Thanksgiving holiday was actually the Thanksgiving weekend, the week of Thanksgiving before we got married. It was actually Thanksgiving week that we got engaged, and we traveled out to Oregon, and I proposed to her out in Oregon. She was living here in Nashville. I was back in Washington State at the time, but I flew out to Nashville, then we flew to Oregon. I proposed to her in Portland, and then we celebrated with our family members. But Thanksgiving gatherings are going to be tougher for a lot of people this year than other times. And Thanksgiving gatherings can be tough just as it is. I mean, do you know how badly I want to grumble and complain if I find apples in stuffing? Apples. Apples in stuffing. Apples. I mean, I don't want apples by themselves, let alone in the stuffing. Or I think I've had stuffing with nuts in it before, too. Don't they put nuts in stuffing? Yeah. I don't want anything crunchy in the stuffing because I think that like there's a bone in there or something. I want it, you know, stuffing is supposed to be this pre-chewed consistency. Anyways, that isn't appetizing, but to me it makes sense. It's easy to grumble and complain about the littlest things and the biggest things, like not being able to get together with family or to travel. But Scripture is clear that thankful souls curb complaint. And then lastly, the fifth mark of a thankful soul. Thankful souls give thanks. Remember last week, forgiven souls are forgiving? Well, thankful souls give thanks. See, giving thanks internally is one thing. Well, I feel thankful, or I'm going to count my blessings. I'm going to make a list, or I'm going to remember. That's good. That's good for you. But thankful souls give thanks publicly, face to face. Colossians chapter 3 is such a great chapter on how to clothe ourselves in the different aspects of Christ-likeness. But specifically, we're going to read verses 15, 16, and 17. And this is what Scripture says. Let the peace of Christ be in control in your heart, for you were in fact called as one body to this peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, okay? So in our heart, dwell in you richly, and then that's going to come out here, teaching and exhorting one another with all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, all with grace in your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Thankfulness starts internally and in our hearts, in our minds. It happens in our prayer and our supplication with God, but then it comes out in the one another's. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and exhorting one another with all wisdom. Wait, thankfulness leads us to teaching and exhorting. Do you know what exhortation means? It's a synonym is encouraging, spurring on in an encouraging and non-abusive way, cracking the whip and going, come on, you can do it. Let's go. Teaching and exhorting one another with all wisdom, singing psalms, both of praise and complaint to God that then turn into trust of God, hymns and spiritual songs, all with grace in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, here is this like all-inclusive. Have you noticed that thankfulness, all of these verses on thankfulness that we've looked at tonight, today, this morning, whatever the time period you're watching this video, have you noticed that all of the scriptures on thankfulness that we're studying are all-inclusive? There's no caveats. There's no asterisks. There's no footnotes. It's whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. Thankful souls give thanks. Thankful souls count blessings. Thankful souls embrace trials, talk to God, curb complaint, and they give thanks. I want to give thanks right now. I want to give thanks to you, to those of you that are faithful to stay connected in this unconnected season, to stay connected with the body, with Friendship Community Church, this local body of believers. I want to thank you for supporting me, supporting my family, literally supporting them, supporting the staff members at our church, Lisa Passman, our office manager, Teresa Snyder, our children's minister, Eric Moreno, our student minister, Justin Fraker, our director of technology and communications, also looks after our facility in operations, Keith Pipes, our director of worship arts, Tasha Sable, our director of events and outreach. You support us all. I want to thank you for that. You support us, you support our families, but you also support the ministries of this church and feeding those in our community that need help. We've got a lot of Thanksgiving meals that are going out starting tomorrow. I was here covering the front office so that our office manager could Lisa could use some of her vacation days. I was covering in the office when our food bank was open on Thursday morning and the cars were lined up. There's great need in our community, and you have been faithful to give in so many ways, with foodstuffs and cash, and you name it. But I also want to express my thanks to those of you that have been encouraging to the staff, that you've reached out, encouraging to me. I'm thankful for the opportunity to teach and to exhort in various ways. My thankfulness comes out like this. And so it's a great privilege. It really is. And as tiring as this season can be, someone asked me recently, how are you doing? And I said, well, I'm really tired, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this opportunity. I'm not astonished by this pandemic. I'm not astonished by people's reactions to the election. I'm not astonished that people want to leave our church to go to another church, or that people can't believe what their church is doing and they want to come to our church or be affiliated with our church. Not a lot of people are coming to our church right now. But none of that is astonishing to me because, you know, trials are going to happen. But this message of counting our blessings, will you do that this week as you gather with friends and family, either in person or over the phone or over a video screen? Will you count your blessings? Will you look for opportunities to express to other people how you're embracing these trials of fire? Because you're identifying with the sufferings of Christ to a degree, and thereby being a light to other people, going, whoa, you know, they're not complaining, they're not grumbling. This is a wow moment. And will you feel empowered to do that because you're in prayer and petition to God with thanksgiving in your heart? Because if you do, I think you will be a person that can truly give thanks today and this week and in this season, regardless of your preferences, regardless of your persecution, that to a small degree you're being able to be thankful for it and identifying with Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I sit here and preach with thankfulness in my heart, thankfulness for what you have done at Friendship Community Church and what you are doing through this pandemic and political season and what you are going to do in the future. I'm thankful to be a small part of it. I'm thankful for our church body. I'm thankful for the new people that have come to us through online opportunities, and they've found a church home of teaching, preaching, and philosophy of worldview and biblical interpretation that aligns with what they've been yearning for, that they've looked for a breath of fresh air in the Bible Belt, and they found it through Friendship Community Church. Father, for all of our people and the souls that are listening and watching online, Father, I pray for peace. I pray for a reduction of anxiousness and worry and replacing it with petition and prayer to you with thanksgiving. I pray that grumbling and complaining will be at a minimum, and people will say, what has gotten into Jack or Sally? They're not complaining. They always complain about the food, and they're not complaining, and that it's the light of Christ in them that makes that change. And Father, for those in our congregation that fear because of the times that we live in, because of the conditions around them, Father, I pray that you would kindle an ember of thanksgiving in them where they fear a little less and they're astonished a little less and that they trust you. Father, I pray all of these things in your wonderful Son's name, amen. I'm thankful for Jesus, and I hope you are too. Thank you for joining us. If you do want to give to our church or continue to give, churchforyou.com/give, or you can use the Church Center app and connect with some of our house churches that might be taking a break for the holidays, but are still meeting and connecting online as well, some still in person. You can connect through the Church Center app and give through that as well. God bless, and have a great Thanksgiving week, and say thank you to those that are due that honor this week. It's glorifying to God when you do it, and it makes them feel good too. I'm thankful for you. God bless. See you later.